So where would you like to start your venting? Would you like to vent about not being down at the Dome tonight? Would you like to vent about no Big J's trade being made? Would you like to vent about the Raptors draft pick? The floor is yours, bud. Anywhere you want to go.
I know.
All right. I'm not even going to spend really any time on the Jays because I'm jealous of people who get to go, but also it's like I am doing the one thing where I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I'll be doing this. I'll be down there a bunch
like
next
it.
Week. It's going to feel the same way. It'll feel the same way for me. It'll be great. That's awesome. What I don't understand about baseball right now is how the Padres are able to trade for everyone and how they have all these picks and prospects and things that they can just continue to shovel out the door and get more star players, and that the Blue Jays don't have enough to get anyone other than Brad Hand. That remains a little confusing to me, but Raptors pick. Boys. that was a gut punch to the city, I felt like, last night. I ran into a lot of people yesterday, and it was, I can't believe they did that. Like, it felt as though everyone was on Jalen Suggs, and I don't know if it's because of the this guy is a Raptor thing that ended up happening, where everyone kept saying all the qualities of this guy, the successor to Kyle Lowry. But I really do think that was a big part of it, was, hey, this organization's moving off from Kyle, and maybe he still comes back, who knows, but I doubt it. And this is a perfect guy to start the new era with. And then they take Scotty Barnes, and so I don't want to, like, I've got positive things to say about Scotty Barnes, and I'm excited in some ways about him, but it just felt like we lost a player that we had all kind of believed we were getting for a very long time. It was a four-player draft. Toronto lucks their way into it. Everybody in the city that's a Raptors fan is thrilled at the idea that we're getting this guy. We emotionally invested in this guy. We emotionally invested in the four dudes. And then they went and got one of the non-four dudes. So, yeah, I think it's like a weird moment in Toronto sports where they got a cool prospect, but it's just, it's almost like Jalen Suggs was on our team.
I completely agree with everything you just said there, which doesn't necessarily make for great radio. And let me put this to you, because we were talking about this in the first hour. You know, we're all fans of tortured Toronto sports teams, and we know the beats of when bad things happen to teams. And, you know, yeah, like my tortured fan base radar was going off last night. I feel like this is a decision that's going to haunt the Raptors for a long time. Like, I don't want to, like you said, I don't want to kill Scotty Barnes. Like, I want, you know, I'm not an expert, but I just was so, like you said, emotionally involved. I watched Jalen Suggs throughout the tournament. I fell in love with this guy even before I knew the Raptors had the pick. And then the Raptors got the pick. I'm like, the Raptors could get this guy? And now that they passed on him, he knows where he was supposed to go. Yeah. I just feel like this is going to haunt the Raptors for a long time, Bunk.
I know, and that's how I felt about it, too. And you have to take yourself out of believing in those mystic things sometimes, but there is a mysticism to sports, you know? Like, I did think
about the announcement of
the pick and Jalen Suggs, like, and with the fourth pick and it being a shock in the Jalen Suggs story, and he's fist-pumping, and he goes, I'm going to Orlando, and I'm going to make them relevant for the first time since T-Mac. I'm going to be what Penny Hardaway should have been for the Orlando Magic and elevate this franchise. You don't think Jalen Suggs is going to kill the Raptors for the next 12 years? It's going to be bad.
Oh,
it's going to be really bad. That guy, you want to know who the new Raptor killer is? Jalen Suggs. I don't need to go over why I liked Suggs so much, because I think anybody who listens to this show has heard me go at great detail the things that I really like about the guy, the reasons why I believed he was the correct pick at four. This is the part that scares me, okay? This is the real scary part. Because Scotty Barnes, here's the positive. Positive first. He is clearly the type of guy who is going to work his ass off to be the best player that he can be. That's established with him. He's played with star players before. He comes from pedigree. He was freshman of the year. He can handle the ball at that size. All the things that you've heard over the last couple of days are very true. The shooting is a real problem, which I don't love because, you know, shooting seems good. But it feels like the Raptors were in on Ben Simmons. They wanted to get Ben Simmons. They have not been able to acquire Ben Simmons. And so they just drafted Ben Simmons, like a lesser Ben Simmons. Like, they drafted a big, tall guy who can ball handle and who doesn't shoot and who was, like, last year in college – only playing like 25 minutes for his team per night. So I feel like they're falling in love with this thing of positionless basketball, and they did that with their second round pick too, where they went up and they got a big guy playmaker who can ball handle. I'm like, how many of these guys are you supposed to have? Because, okay, Fred VanVleet can play off the ball, but isn't he supposed to be the point guard now? Okay, so Malachi Flynn, you drafted in the first round last year, he's a ball handler. You want to have him handle the ball. OG Anunoby is supposed to make progress as a ball handler. You're supposed to have him. Pascal Siakam is effective when he handles the basketball. Like, he's supposed to be an initiator of the offense. And now this kid is going to be doing what exactly? Like, maybe the development is slow and that he's not going to be thrown in the fire right away, say, like a Suggs would have. It feels like the pieces don't really fit on this team now all of a sudden. And I sort of look at it and go, so are you going to play this guy with Siakam and with OG Anunoby? Like, that's what the lineup is going to be? It's a weird... The pick was just easy, man. It was just an easy pick for fit, ceiling, upside,
that's
everything.
What kills me. It was just right
and
there.
You just overthought it. Yeah, you know what this is like? It's like Pete Carroll. You're on the goal line. Give it to Marshawn Lynch. He's like, we're going to do this trick play. Like, no. No, just put it in the end zone. And they didn't do it. And now I'm just sitting here today, like, constantly trying to talk myself into Scotty Barnes. That's it. I've just been trying all morning to talk myself into Scotty Barnes, and it's still not taking.
The thing that I think is most frustrating for me was we're all saying all the things. I'm pretty much lockstep with where both of you are at on this pick. We're all having the conversations. You see where the reaction is at on Twitter, and then there's the immediate pushback of, look at all the steals this group has found. And the thing that I keep coming back to is, drafting Pascal Siakam at 27 overall, grabbing OG at 23 overall, Fred VanVleet undrafted, you know, maybe Malachi Flynn, who knows, back end of the first round. It's one thing to take your gamble, to find your pick when it's 27 and you're kind of throwing darts at the board. This is the one chance you have to reset this core with a star player. It's like, this is not the time to get cute. That's what I kept going back to. Everyone throwing OG and Pascal in the face, for lack of a better term, and people criticizing the pick. It's just night and day to do that in the late 20s than it is to do it at 4 in the draft.
So the Raptors have had success, obviously, right, with their development. And so that's the natural thing people point to always as they go, wow, look at them with their development. Look at them with their development. Okay. But you know what seems to be pretty important to development is just like having really good teams. And the Raptors are pivoting from potentially not being – from being a very good team to potentially not a very good one. And remember when everyone thought the Spurs were the Spurs drafted this person. Yesterday, the Spurs took somebody who is a Canadian kid, but who was like a massive, massive reach, and they got absolutely criticized. Who's the person that the Spurs have turned into the superstar since Tim Duncan left? Like, I think a lot of what happens with these guys when they're later picks, especially, as we've seen with the Spurs, and as we've seen with the Raptors, is if you put them onto like super competitive teams and they can fit a role, and they can expand on that, that is incredible for your development. But the idea that just like you're going to be able to bring guys into the building and teach them how to shoot better than other organizations or whatever, like this is how you kind of, I think, delude yourself. This is how I think you kind of end up making picks like this. Anyway, I think overall the pick is solid, right? Like they've added a guy who is got a lot of special traits. But what I have not loved is he's not an extremely great athlete. He's long and he's big, but when people compare him to Draymond, that's what it is. It's like a lot of instincts and a lot of just like the size of it and the competitiveness. He's not like an uber athlete like OG Anunoby where, you know, you can throw him up against anybody and the defense works because of the athleticism. The other part is like he just didn't take shots. And we talk about this all the time. Like it's hard to learn how to be an offensive player at the NBA level. Like, people take that for granted. Like, this guy to all of a sudden go and, like, learn on the fly of how to become a scorer in the NBA when he's in college and he's not wanting to take shots? What are all the examples of, like, that working out? And, like, this goes back to the same thing, which feels like sometimes...
That's it.
Yeah, yes, and but exactly. It's like, this also feels like they just have never been able to give up the ghost of Giannis. And that the Giannis thing continues to haunt Masai. Like, he wanted Giannis in the draft. He wanted Giannis. Oh, the boys are burning the eggs. The boys are burning the breakfast eggs.
You hear that?
You leave for 1 minute, and there's a fire.
It's a hot take alert.
Yeah, the hot take alert is flying off the handle. But Yeah, I just, I don't know. You guys are the same way. And I hate that I keep coming back to this, like, defeatist place, but it's just, it's weirdly emotional around this pick right now because of what Suggs represented for the Raptors and, yeah, just the buy-in already from the fan base.
Yeah, and listen, I saw the way Barnes reacted when he was drafted, and you know, you hear the ties to Toronto and like how excited he is about Toronto and all this stuff, and I feel guilty for how I feel, but like, there's no way that Raps fans don't measure him against Jalen Suggs' entire career. Like, it's just the position that he's been put in by the Toronto front office is a tough one to get over because fans, like all of us, like most of the people in my life who love the Raptors were texting me last night. He is always going to be measured big time against Jalen Suggs. And that's tough because I think Suggs is going to be a stud.
The thing that I'm more curious about now, though, is, again, direction of the franchise. Does this mean something about where the Raptors are going? Because you have to figure – if the Raps were going to try and make a trade immediately for, say, a Bradley Beal or for a Ben Simmons, that they would have taken Suggs because he's the better trade chip, right? Like, universally, that guy is a piece that you could have moved in a trade for a star more easily than you could have with Scottie Barnes. Like, that guy, if we play out next season and you see Jalen Suggs versus what Scottie Barnes does, it's going to be pretty obvious that he's going to have a better rookie year. Like, that's just going to be a fact. This is not about who has the better rookie season. This is about who's better 3 years from now. And that's the gambit here, okay? So let's see how that plays out. But that also implies things like, well, you're not getting the best player, and you're not getting the one with the immediate help for the team. You're having someone who doesn't have a natural fit with this Raptors core. Well, at least, again, not on paper because of all those ball handlers I mentioned and all the forwards that they already have to play. And does this mean that you're, like, keeping Siakam and hoping to try to see a three-headed, big, long defensive team where everyone can handle it and you're trying to, like, make a different approach? Or is this, hey, we're taking a step back and we're maybe selling Siakam? And we're pivoting towards trying to be the best team in 3 years when that lines up with Scottie Barnes' timeline. Like, it's just, I don't know what the next step is for them. And this makes it less clear because, again, he is a 3 years away player from hopefully reaching more of his potential.